We just heard how God has directed these students and where they sense God leading them in the future, and that's a great segue into our sermon text today. Last week we talked about the wilderness and how we have to choose in the wilderness whether to draw closer to God or to walk further away from God in that dry and lonely place. This week we're going to talk about the wind in our Landscapes of Lent series. And in this text, Jesus is talking with one of the religious leaders. And this takes place right after he cleansed the temple, where he threw people out of the temple. And the religious leaders were concerned that he wasn't showing proper remorse and shame for doing that. He seemed to be showing no shame for doing that. So they sent Nicodemus to talk with him, to debate with him, and hopefully to make him feel the requisite amount of shame. And this is from the Gospel of John. And if you remember John chapter 1, this gospel starts off with that amazing poetic introduction. And in that, it talks about Jesus as the light shining in the darkness. And so it is probably important that the gospel writer comments that this religious leader comes to Jesus under cover of darkness. John chapter 2. When Jesus was in Jerusalem during the Passover festival, many believed in his name because they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, would not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to testify about anyone, for he himself knew what was in the heart of everyone. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "Well, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of spirit is spirit. So do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you don't believe, how can you believe when I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Regrets? I've had a few. But then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption, planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Now, yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew, but through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out, faced it all, and I stood tall and did it my way. I didn't want to do Frank Sinatra an injustice by trying to sing that myself. But I'm guessing you've heard the song My Way before. And I find the lyrics to this song to be simultaneously one of the most true and most false songs ever written. It is one of the truest songs because it captures the human heart so well. Because we want to take control. We want to plan each charted course, to eat up and spit out the challenges of life, to stand tall through it all and do it our way. Our text today says that Jesus knows what is in everyone's heart. He knows that's how we like to pretend. But he knows it's just pretending. The song captures how we want things to be, not how they actually are. I mean, regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. Really? Can you count your mistakes and regrets on one hand as you look through your life? I mean, as you look through everything, have you done it perfectly? You've charted everything perfectly? And maybe you've had one or two little not 100% ideal decisions, but really, that's just too few to mention. Have you planned each charted course? Are you like the Emperor in Star Wars, able to say everything is proceeding as I have foreseen it? Or has life thrown you some curveballs every once in a while? We don't get to do it our way because we don't see everything coming. We don't control everything. And we can't eat up and spit out the challenges of life. That capability is not within us. My way is therefore a lie. In our text today, Nicodemus, that religious leader, subscribed to a religious version of my way. His group thought that they could earn God's favor by doing everything right, by planning every move. But Jesus essentially tells Nicodemus that trying to be perfect on earth won't cut it, because what is flesh is flesh. Religious rules are flesh. They are humans trying to make their own way to God. What we need, Jesus says, is to be born of the Spirit, to be born from above. But what does that mean? Well, Jesus says that the wind comes into play here. He says, the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, does that sound like my way to you? It sounds a little more like Colors on the Wind if you're a Pocahontas fan. This reminds me of the one and only sailing race I have ever competed in. One of our friends in Pennsylvania had a house on a lake in the mountains, and all the other people who had houses on that lake bought the same kind of sailboat, and then they would have races throughout the season whenever the weather was good. And I came with loads of sailing experience. Oh, sorry, no. I came with zero sailing experience, so my job was just to do whatever my friend told me to do as quickly and accurately as possible. It wasn't my job to read the wind. He did that. It wasn't my job to know when to raise and lower the center line. He did that. It wasn't my job to steer. He did that. My job was, whenever he told me to pull the ropes as quickly as possible, to switch the sail when we had to catch the wind from a different angle. That's it. And so during the race, we tacked to the left. We tacked to the right, slowly gaining on the leader. But really, it was at the turnaround where we made up the time, because we executed a rapid turn, and in either a tactical or dirty move, we stole the wind from the leader. And he stopped dead in the water as we shot off into the lead, coasting easily to a victory to the sound of my friend's maniacal laughter at the move he had just pulled. He's a bit competitive. But tell me, would we have won that race if every time he gave me some instruction, I turned around and said, well, why should I do that? Why should I change the sail direction? Why should I move my foot out of the way? No, we would have lost badly. Or what if we had, you know, used our minds? We're both smart guys. What if we had, you know, looked at the weather reports, because they're always 100% accurate, and we looked at the wind direction they were anticipating, and so planned our move of, we're going to turn at exactly 3:03 p.m. in 27 seconds. We'll make a 45-degree turn down. What if we planned everything out like that, and regardless of what was actually happening, we followed that plan? Would we have won? No. We would have probably finished last trying to do that. Because you can't predict the wind. You can't do it my way in a sailboat, because the wind blows wherever it chooses. And so for our students today, don't worry about planning your whole life in the next few months. It's not going to unfold how you think it will anyway. It's okay to have a general direction. That's good. But a lot of life and a lot of being faithful is learning to read the wind, not planning everything out. But the questions for all of us are the same. How do we know where the Spirit is blowing? How can we figure out when the Spirit wants us to tack in a new direction? How quickly will we respond when we get those instructions? Because the more adept we are at noticing God's direction, the more quickly we respond to God's new wind, that's when we are born of the Spirit. That's when we're being faithful. Because the Spirit is like the wind. You can't predict where God will lead you. You can't control what God does in your life. Now, you can't ignore the wind. That's totally a possibility. And every once in a while, your sailboat might accidentally catch a gust of wind and you might get going somewhere. But generally, ignoring the wind is a recipe for being stuck in the water going nowhere fast. And so if you want purpose, if you want direction, if you want passion, watch for where the Spirit is leading. Watch for God's holy wind. Pray for the ability to notice where the Spirit is blowing, and for the courage to change your sails to follow. Where is God's wind blowing in your life, and how can you ride it? Amen. In the insert in your bulletin, you will see the lyrics to the song Oceans, Where Feet May Fail, and our youth band will be playing this song. And if you know it, you are encouraged to sing along. And if you don't know it, then there are some parts that repeat, and you may pick it up, and you're invited to join in at that time if you are comfortable.
So in the insert, it says that we're doing the bridge once, but we're actually doing the bridge three times, just so we're all on the same page.
You call me out upon the waters, the great abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me, and take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. above the waves. My soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you